Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watched on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, everybody. Happy 2022. Hope you're all having a wonderful year so far.
Yeah, happy belated New Year, if there's such a thing. Sorry we've been away for a while. We just took a break to enjoy the holidays and to recover from it. But glad to be back and to be recording again. So hope there are people still listening to us. Lon, shall we get started? I think we kind of have to cover, I don't know, maybe 3-4 episodes that we didn't cover.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah. Shall we start with Kim and Usman?
Okay. So, well, we already covered that, you know, for at least on my end, that I definitely think Usman is predatory in a way, that he's preying on these women, that there's definitely a type here that he has going. So I think he's leading her on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you feel about that. I think he's leading her on. So let's catch everybody up. So she's going to Tanzania as the potential girlfriend. Like, I guess she has to prove herself to him. And I really don't know what that's about. If he's into her, then why does he have to prove himself, or why does she have to prove himself to him? And I know he has very good reason. He just got out of a marriage with BGL. But like, at the same time, why are you doing this then? She's coming here to meet you. And
I know why. It's for the MacBook Pro and the PS5.
And the PlayStation 5. I was going to say that. I'm like, oh no. And she got the honeymoon suite.
I know. Like, and she didn't put out. I feel bad for her.
Like, okay. But here's the thing. That's on her though. That's on her. If somebody was like, we're not super serious, you could be, you know what I mean? You could be, let's feel it out. She's not there to see if she's a potential girlfriend. She's there to get it. She has eyes on the prize, y'all. If she's got a MacBook Pro, a PlayStation 5, and a honeymoon suite.
She means business.
Yeah. And she's saying, you're not going to stay the night. Like, no.
She wants something in return.
Means business. Yeah. No, yeah. This is not potential girlfriend stuff. This is like, no, you're my man. Like, let's seal the deal. So she is aiming for the bleachers or whatever. What is it? Like, what's, I don't know, like sports.
Swinging for the fence.
Thingy-majig is swinging for the fences or whatever. Yeah. Like, she's going all out.
I'm not surprised because she was ex-military. So she's like, no joke, right? She says she can kill people with her hands.
Yeah.
So when Army, she wants to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when she wants to get it, she will get it. I think if I were her, I wouldn't buy his love.
Yeah.
But I can see why she did that. It's her nature to be aggressive because she's like, what do I have to lose? Let me go get it. You know, let me go for it. Go big or go home. Right.
I think it's her way of putting her best foot forward. And I can see it too. Right. Like, if positions were switched or if I was in her shoes and the tables were turned, I could see myself kind of putting my best foot forward, but I don't think I would do it like that. I don't think I would go all out like that.
I wouldn't too. Yeah.
It's a bit too suggestive, like, to get the honeymoon suite. And she was even coming on to him like super aggressive when he opened the PlayStation 5. It was either PlayStation 5 or the MacBook. She goes, are you going to sleep with that instead of me? Or something like
she
that.
And I'm
like,
that?
Yeah, are you going to sleep with that instead of me? I was like, what? And while he was opening the gift, she was like, damn, that's like girlfriend status right there. And I was just cringing. I was like, no, no. Like, I mean, like, can you flirt a little bit? Can you like ease into this? I think she's just coming on a little bit too strong. And it's one, I think it's going to hurt her in the end because she's getting super attached, like right from the beginning. And when somebody says, oh, especially someone like Usman is like, oh, you're just a potential, blah, blah, blah. You really got to be more careful and more guarded with your heart. He's probably got ladies lined up. Mm-hmm. As she likes to brag, he's international superstar or whatever she likes to call him, right?
International superstar.
Yeah, or singer, rapper. What's the new song? I don't even know. Czar or something like.
Shoot, it's a name of a girl.
Yeah, it's the name of a girl, and it's not her.
It's not her. Is it Zara or something?
So I thought it was Zara or something like that. I didn't write it down.
Yeah. What's the name of the female rapper that they had dinner? Not dinner. I think they caught up over cocktails or something. One that they met.
Yeah, I wish I took better notes. I thought it was like
Shaun T.
I thought it was Shaun T, but now I'm thinking of like hip hop abs.
Yeah, listeners, I'm sorry I forgot as well, but I'm surprised that meeting turned out okay. Like that chick really was very personable and she was able to take it. I think like she handled herself well is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Because it could have turned sour really quickly because of the way Kimbali came off, right? Like she was very mad that, oh, why am I here? Like, why do you here? And then like, I think the rapper, she was so friendly. She was like kicking it with them and she made it all about them rather than,
right,
you know, the business.
She wasn't judgmental. She was super polite. She tried to make, chill. I want to say she tried to make Kim feel more comfortable about the professional relationship. Right. Like, oh, that's nice. How do you like know each other? Oh, that's great. And I'm like, see, and she's cool. And Kim's over here like, well, Kim's over here throwing an attitude before she arrives. And like, and she was super cool. Right. Like
that was the right move for her, I feel, because she knows she's going to be on American TV.
Yeah.
I wouldn't just say American. Like this is international show. I mean, this is popular in the UK, in Australia and all that. So she knows she has to put her best foot forward. So I'm glad that she presented herself well.
For her own personal brand too. She has a reputation too. She's also an artist who takes her business seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I think if anything, I think Usman should take it more seriously. Usman moves differently.
Yeah.
Right. Well, maybe. I don't know her, Shanti or whatever. I don't know if she's got other things going on, but she doesn't seem like the type that would go on like a 90-day fiance thing and to get some clout. Whereas Usman, and no judgment, like Usman has to do what he's got to do to get that exposure, to better his life. Like he just moves differently.
Right? Yeah. But guess what? Because she's on this show, people will be curious and try to check her out on Spotify, which is already a win for her. Yeah. Just like 50 minutes and she's already winning.
Right.
You know,
right.
No drama, but still winning. I figured before we can move on, I just want to announce that recently Kim's mom passed away. It's a, you know, tragic news that just came out recently prior to our recording. So whoever's listening, moment of silence for Kim's mom. This is very tragic. Also reminiscence of Angela's mom in a way, because I don't know if this happened while Kim was away, but I think because this is recent, maybe it was when she was back in the US. Mm-hmm. So hopefully she got to spend time before her mom passing. So obviously our heart goes out to Kim and her family. So
our condolences. So I did write a note. Her name is Shaunarie,
got it.
Shaunarie, right. And okay. Kim was really defensive about. So my final note on this was that if she's the potential girlfriend, or she wants to be a potential girlfriend, then part of that girlfriend test is whether or not you can still be accepting of his professional relationships. He's going to be working with attractive people,
of course,
a lot of attractive successful people. Sometimes they're going to be music video dancers or music artists or celebs in that country who are very beautiful women. And not even that, just even fans. You have to be able to put up with his fans.
Yeah,
you can't be like, well, that's my man, and you can't have fans. So you know, you have to be able to do that.
Yeah. So basically not do a BGL.
Right.
Yeah.
It's what comes with dating an artist.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
So I thought we can move on to Big Boobies Memphis. I'm sorry. And Hamza, who defied his mom and slept in her room with her, and I guess just sleeping. Lon, what do you think about that? I feel like whose fault is that if we want to assign blame? Not that we're about pointing fingers here, but just to kind of zoom in on this particular scene, who is in the wrong here? Because
Hamza.
That, well, I have to say, I'll admit that at first, I feel like it was Hamza, but then I was also thinking Memphis kind of put the pressure on him to sleep with her, and of course he's gonna take it. But had Memphis abide by his mom's rules, I think she could have waited and possibly get a hotel later on to have, you know, sexy time. But I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it's both of them to be blamed because they both went against the mom's wishes. And I just feel bad for the mom because she's very patient. Like, you can tell that she was putting up a strong front, even though she's not happy.
And then
that
she cried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I just hate that.
The reason I blame Hamza, so they're both responsible, mm-hmm. but the thing is, it's under his mom's roof and it was his mom's wishes. Yeah. Now, if Memphis was in that position and if it was Memphis's parents' roof that they were under and Memphis's parents with those wishes, you know what I mean? Then it's up to you, one, to respect your parents' wishes, especially when you're under their roof. Right. And that's kind of where I'm going with that, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, she could pressure all she wants and she can do all these things, but like at the end of the day, it was Hamza's mom's wish and they're staying in her place.
Yeah.
So like Memphis can seduce and all this stuff and guilt trip and all this stuff all she wants. But dude, Hamza, that's your mom and you're living under her place. That's just what it is.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't like it when I was living with my parents, but that's just how it goes, right? Yeah. And if I was a guest in someone's house,
that's the thing, though.
Their parents said some things, I would have to respect their parents' wishes.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, Memphis is a guest. If she took the offer to stay with them, she should at least respect the fact that she should be abiding by the mom's rules, which is why, like I say, I kind of am more inclined to blame it on her as opposed to Hamza. But I think at the end of the day, it's the both of them violated the rules and disrespected the mom like that. And I just feel bad for the mom. And she's, you know, like I said, she put up a brave front. She's trying to be a trooper about it.
Right.
I was disappointed with Memphis, if anything. And I know I should put the blame on the men as well. But I just feel like as someone visiting, you should respect your...
That's true.
You know, as a guest, you should respect your host.
The host. Right. Yeah. That's the etiquette of being a guest in someone's home.
Right, because you're staying there for free.
Yeah.
And if the mom already made it clear that, hey, I need my son to sleep outside, then you should be in line with her rules and maybe and tell Hamza that, hey, look, I respect your mom's rules. Let's postpone sexy time. Maybe we can book a hotel. We can take a short trip later on or something. And I think do what, I don't know if Ziad did it in his parents' homes. I can't remember. Maybe they did because I think Rebecca stayed in his room or, you know, they both slept on the same bed. So
yeah,
it's, yeah, like you say, etiquette. Like, where is the respect?
While we're on the topic of the mom, I think of the three of them, she's the most interesting. I really like the mom.
Yeah.
In the previous episode, Hamza was explaining the story of, like, I guess his father had, like, left, and I think for another woman, right?
Yeah.
So, and in his culture, he even said that his mom had lost value. His mom had lost value.
Yeah.
It's a because the dad walked away, right?
Right. It's very patriarchal. And
she couldn't find it. She couldn't find a job because of how they viewed the mom. So, props that under that society where she couldn't find a job, she had lost her value as a human being, apparently, or as a woman, and she was still able to raise Hamza under these conditions.
Yeah, and the sister.
And the sister, right. To me, that's just such an interesting backstory to build up for the mom. And I wish that Memphis could have done some homework and tried to learn the language, because I think there's a lot to identify with. Had Memphis done that, like done the work, they could have communicated better. So one, I think this is going to be a train wreck because the only things they know how to say are sexy time, right? Sexy time and a few English language. And it's always lost in translation. Even when she's like, tell your mom this. And then the mom was like, tell Memphis this. Even his translations are like, that's not exactly nailing it, right?
Yeah.
But I think Memphis could have empathized with the mom
more. She's about a single mom too.
Yes, about her concerns for her son and her children because of the experience she went through. And I'm like, look, if this language barrier wasn't there, I think they could find some common ground about why this is important.
What do you think of that scene where the mom was teaching her how to how do you call it, like descale the fish and remove all the gills and bones, and Memphis was struggling with it. And she was saying like, well, if this is how Memphis cook, my son would starve.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, your son would starve because he's unemployed. He's unemployed. He's living off his mom.
Yeah, I don't know. If the plan is to come back to America, there's other things. There's other ways to get food and stuff. I don't even know how to, I don't think I've ever tried it to descale a fish properly. I've seen it done myself, but I don't know if I've ever actually done it.
Yeah, I guess living in the US, we're all spoiled because the fish that we get, they are usually fillets, right? They're already descaled. I mean, I'm guilty because I just bought black cod. And I told the butcher to descale my cod, remove the black scale. I'm like, and he looked at me funny. He was like, so, you mean take out the skin? You don't want the black skin? Like, is the chicharron of the fish? And I'm like, no, I just don't have the tool to like descale it.
Yeah.
Like, I just took a shortcut. But anyway, it's a hack. If you make friends with your supermarket butcher, he might help you with that.
I'll do that for you.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about their sexy time and how Memphis is like, hey, dude,
that seems to be quick. That seems to be the theme of this episode is how bad of a lay the men are in this season.
The men are performing really badly or
underperforming
in bed.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think about that. I just feel like it's like a backhanded compliment, right? You remember what Hamza told the producer? He said it was because
she's too hot or she's too sexy.
Yeah, that he can't control himself and he hasn't done it for months or something or for years, and it's understandable. So I always cringe when people go really detailed into the sex life. I mean, I just feel like that's kind of like that window that I don't want to peek into, but
yeah,
this is trash TV after all, right? Dumpster fire material.
So I can talk about sex for, I don't know, I can keep talking about sex. That's the thing. What I mean is this could be its own separate conversation. But like for me, one, there's this whole pressure for men to perform, to be the ones to like take the reins and satisfy the woman and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it just comes down to like, are you thoughtful enough? Like, do you care? I mean, like, even if you underperformed or if the sex wasn't like super spectacular or you came too fast is, I guess, the problem. If the guy gave two shits about her pleasure, then he would make up for it. Or you would do what you had to do to, I don't know, get back up. Or maybe you would go oral. You would find a way to satisfy her because you cared about her pleasure. Do you know what I mean? So this whole thing that of like men not being able to perform, yeah, I could see it as like maybe the women are being unfair because of these standards that men are supposed to do it. But like if you cared about your partner's pleasure, then you would do what it took.
Right.
You would do what it took. Like, and that's the end of it. And they didn't. They're like, okay, I'm gonna roll over. That's it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if you like came fast, you can still try to get back up with whatever. Like I said, I can keep talking about sex is something I can keep talking about. That's a separate conversation.
You know what that means. You can all hit Lon up to talk about sex.
Let's talk about sex, y'all. we'll give you the details at the end of this podcast.
All right, Lon. We have a lot of couples to cover, so let's
keep moving
on to Gino and Jasmine. Man, I lost count the number of red flags in this relationship.
It's entertaining, though. It's entertaining, right?
It is, but I feel like she's unhinged. She gets easily unhinged, I feel. But
it's like, girl, who hurt you? You know? But that's the thing. It's true, though. She got hurt, right? Didn't she?
She got burned. You can tell
she got burned.
She got burned before.
Yeah, good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now she's super defensive. She put up a wall. She's so easily insecure. And
she overgeneralized now.
Yeah.
She just said, oh, you're a man. And that was it. Like, you can't be trusted because you're a man.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, okay. Her jealousy is pretty severe. I don't know if they play it up for the camera because it's always at lunch or always at dinner. That's some shit goes down, right?
Yeah.
So I was thinking to myself, well, maybe this was like a scripted scene just to play up her jealousy. But then at the same time, like, she could be. Maybe she is a jealous person, just like, was it Julia? Where Julia didn't.
Yeah.
She's like not having it. And yeah, so.
Yeah. I have tea to spill on this topic.
On Julia?
On Jasmine.
On Jasmine?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
So one of our favorite podcasts, Frauded by TLC. Mm. I think they've rebranded to Frauded Media or the Fraudcast. I could be wrong here, but they recently got blocked because, I won't say they, but it's actually a woman running the account, but they posted a screenshot of Jasmine cyberbullying Gino's ex-wife, just because I think Gino's ex-wife happens to be in the porn industry or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And pretty much exposed Jasmine as being a cyberbully. And I think someone reported the Frauded Media account, and I guess it got locked out, and Instagram probably threatened to, like, or rather requested or brought down the post because it was the one that was
against their guidelines or whatever.
Yeah, it's against a guideline, and it was considered like harassment on the account's part. But yeah, Jasmine is really.
Wow, she's really that way.
Yeah, she's really that way. Like, I think what she portrayed on TV, it's probably accurate.
Yeah, that story when Leo? Let me check my notes. Leo, her friend Leo.
The hairstylist.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, okay, you burned your hair, but she was laughing when she was like, I was going to kill that bitch.
Yeah, she was going to choke a bitch or something. Like,
Yeah. And she was laughing. Ah, I almost did. Like, I'm like,
dude, that's serious. Like, my jaw dropped because I'm like, how is she laughing at this violent tendencies? And you can tell that Gino was also
uncomfortable. Yeah. Totally. So what do you think about her materialism?
Oh my God. Yeah, let's talk about that, because I want to say that kind of crossed the line for me, in the sense that I don't think you should change your partner, you know, unless he or she or they specifically ask for a makeover. And her motivation is also not from like a good place. She just wants him to look good because she wants
to impress a friend.
Yeah, impress a friend. And she pretty much wants an arm candy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not into that type of behavior. And by the way, because of that shopping trip, I found out that the Panama currency is as strong as the US currency. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought maybe Gino is exaggerating. And turns out one US dollar is really roughly one Panama. Or I forgot, it's not pesos, it's the currency. And I was like, oh, okay. So I guess Panamanian are probably doing well, like, as a country, because as you know, they're known for their canals, right? So like, come on, man. He was unemployed for months. How do you expect him to pay for a $500 shopping spree?
Yeah.
Like, where's your head at? Like, where's your sense of empathy?
And when she said, when she was like, really? What am I going to tell him? And then he's like, I don't know. You know, I'm like, what? Here's my take. I kind of get it. I disagree with her approach, right? Mm-hmm. Again, communication. If Gino was like, well, I can't drop $512, but maybe I can get a nice shirt and some pants, like, how about that?
Or yeah,
or something like that, because there's an argument to be made. If anyone was meeting my friends for the first time and I wanted my friends to like this person, and obviously to paint whoever I'm dating in a good light, I would want them to you know, get a good first impression. So I kind of understood that too, but I wouldn't force them to spend $512, but I understand where that's coming from. So maybe they could have compromised a little on that.
Take him to the thrift store or something.
Yeah. Or something. There was a sale rack. I was like, does it have to be Nautica? Like, you know what I mean?
It was like, Nautica, damn.
Yeah, it was like, in Panama, I guess it is.
Yeah. Damn, $500 worth of Nautica products?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like, you know, the shirts and all that stuff. What? So, yep.
Crazy.
So there's that. And then I think too, for her, this is where, you know, I was really on the fence about. I think for her, gift giving is a love language.
Yeah, she wasn't impressed with the electric toothbrush.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be expensive if it's thoughtful. Yeah. And I think they played, or she played up too much the price tag about it, especially when she used the word cheap, when she said, oh, he thinks he can be cheap. Like, that didn't play well in her favor. But I think too that maybe she just wanted something thoughtful. Yeah. Like, what's the thought behind a toothbrush? That my hygiene's bad? You know, it brings us back to the Big Ed with the mouthwash and all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
What are you trying to say? Like, and she didn't have like super expensive gifts too, but it was cute. It was coupley, you know, like I'm dating some crazy person. And she's like, I'm the crazy person.
Yeah.
It was cute. It was joking, kind of self-deprecating. But at the same time, it's like, hey, this is my guy, right? Like, yeah. I'm happy to be with him.
Yeah.
Was there some thought behind there? So then when he's showing up with a toothbrush, right? And one, the way he presented it was, oh, like he presented it, here's some gifts because we're first meeting, not because it was the Christmas gift. So she's thinking, oh, like, here's a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And he's just like, well, I didn't, you know, and I think he winged it. I think he didn't have a Christmas gift.
Yeah. I think, and he used the fact that he was unemployed as the reason, right?
Yeah.
I just thought that it was okay for him to get away with that just because he sponsored all her cosmetic surgery.
I forgot about that.
Facial enhancements and all that. So in his mind, he's thinking like, well, that's where all my monies are going to.
It's a good thing you reminded me, because I did. I forgot. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. I think I agree with you. I think she may not be expecting a designer gift, but probably something thoughtful to at least impress her a little bit. But yeah, he could have come up with something more creative other than a toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Gino, a DIT electric toothbrush is a manual toothbrush. So technically she can throw her manual toothbrush away. So yeah. FYI.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel bad that he cooked her breakfast, except he didn't get the concept of veganism.
And he still didn't get it.
He still doesn't get it until to like really spell it out for him. Like, eggs come from animals. Yeah. So I cannot eat eggs.
Yeah. Even during the interview when she like quizzed him or whatever, he still couldn't explain it right. And I was like, you still don't know.
Yeah. That was just crazy how like it flew by him. Like, what is veganism? Like, I didn't still get it. What else do I want to talk about with them? I mean, other than the fact that they so slick and they kind of walked away from the cashier, you know, saying that he forgot his wallet. Let's just go grab it and then just walk away. I think, I don't know, this is one heck of an explosive couple, I feel. I mean, she's so unhinged and he's just, I don't know.
They're incompatible.
You think
I think they're incompatible. If they're going to work through this and this is going to be successful, they have to start talking to each other.
Yeah,
they have to start talking to each other. He has to let her know, you know what, I think you need to kind of like, I know it doesn't work whenever you tell a woman to chill out or calm down, like that's not, you know, and I'm not trying to be sexist, I think it goes both ways. If you tell anybody to chill out or calm down, they're going to be like, who the fuck you think you're talking to? But I think he needs to let her know, like, your insecurity scares me. You know, and I think she needs to let him know that, hey, you know, here's my expectations, because they're just so different.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so different.
Yeah, different lifestyle.
But she cares about him. I can see that. I can see where it comes from a good place. You know, I don't want my friend to look at you like you're a piece of shit because I love you and I think you're great. I get that.
Care or possessive?
Possessive because she cares.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
Yeah. Again, I've been in these kind of toxic relationships and I think it came from a good place.
She's very domineering though, just like Memphis.
Oh yeah.
for Memphis, I think she has the upper hand. You know, she's a working woman. You know, she's been through life. For Jasmine, I think she's the more stable one. But at the same time, she's also very, like, she wants control over the relationship.
Do you think in Memphis's case and in Jasmine's case that they're both just kind of settling then?
I still don't know what Memphis's motivation is, because I feel like she should aim higher. I don't know why she's not going local. I don't know why she's going for a guy who's unemployed. I think she's just going for the exotic. She's fetishizing.
Totally.
But for Jasmine, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with her. Maybe it's the green card situation. Maybe she really
for the both of them, I think they don't want to be alone.
Really?
Yeah.
For Jasmine?
Well, yeah. So Jasmine, again, somebody must have hurt her for her to be super possessive and also very, very jealous.
Yeah.
And then I think for Memphis, I think when she was telling her mom, I forget exactly how the scene went down, but like she made it seem like, well, you know, I have kids and I don't want to be alone. And I forgot how it went down a few episodes ago, but like, I think
it's not like she settled.
They're looking for love, a relationship, and they're not finding it, but they're finding it with these. And I don't
know. So, okay. Speaking of schmuck, we didn't cover Mike and Ximena before, but this is, I guess, a good time to
Mike and Ximena. Them.
Yeah, Ximena, I guess. I hope I didn't butcher that. I just feel Mike, really stand-up guy. It seems like he's pure-hearted, like good intention. And then there's Ximena, who's been with a hitman who had a child from a conjugal visit. I don't want to judge her. This is not about how her past is, but I just don't know, Lon. Like, can you see yourself with someone who you cannot communicate at all? Because, like, at least with Memphis and Hamza, like, they kind of wing it, I feel. But with Ximena and Mike, it's a total, like, I don't understand you, you don't understand me. Mike speaks a bit of Spanish, but Ximena is, like, not even a lick of English, maybe a little bit here and there. But, like, I feel like they're struggling with their communication. And then if you can be in that kind of relationship, and if you see them lasting longer than...
This is a problem I have with every season of 90 Day Fiance, where they date somebody that they cannot communicate with. You're an adult. This is like relationship 101. It's hard enough to communicate in English when you're both fluent.
Yeah.
Like, ask any couple out there. It's fucking tough to communicate both of you when you're speaking English.
The same language. Yeah.
Yeah. People go to therapy and people go to fucking like marriage counseling and shit like that because they have a problem communicating with each other. Exactly. So you add that to a language barrier, dude, what are y'all getting into? You know, there's just so much. So when you're having to argue, or not even argue, even if it's not an argument, but you definitely need to get your point across, and you're over here using Google Translate, that's just not cool. So, you know, communication's one of the foundations of a successful relationship. So I see things like this and I feel bad. I think they both care. Again, in all these cases, y'all, I think the people do care about each other.
Yeah, they're good people.
Yeah, they're good people. They want to find love. They think they found it. But like, y'all, get with the program here. Do you not watch 90 Day Fiance before you get on the show? Do you not see the struggles that people who have a language barrier go through? It's tough. Yeah. And with Mike and Ximena, it didn't actually seem too bad. It seemed bad because he's busting out the phone and he's like, they're doing it. They're doing the whole, what's it? Paul and
Carini.
Yeah, they're doing that whole thing again. And I'm just like, but I mean, they seem to get along really well and stuff like that. And I think he knows a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he knows a little bit to where when she's talking to the producer or to the interviews, he knows. He's like, she just said I'm terrible in bed.
Normal? Is that what it is? Like, okay. So my next question to you is, do you think that Ximena is being manipulative by not telling him about the fact that she can no longer have kids? Just like how, may I remind our listeners, how Big Ed did it with Rose. And the fact that the night before she broke the news to him, she gave him a good time in bed. Nothing wrong with that. Sex is sex. But she told the producer, she doing the one-on-one, that she doesn't want to break the news to him until she knows that they're getting along fine. I guess, mm-hmm. you know, giving people good sex is probably part of the manipulation. But right. What do you think about that?
I'm 100% in agreement with you. Just like in Big Ed's case, you're not giving them the information for them to make an informed decision about whether they want to be in this relationship or right. not. You are, but by now it's too late. What you're doing is, it is manipulation, because you're trying to get things to work out in your favor. You're manipulating their emotions, shaping their ideas of what the future with you will be like, which is an inaccurate portrayal, you know, to get them emotionally involved and emotionally invested.
Yeah.
And then you drop the bomb when they're like in love with you, or after right. they just had some good sex. Right.
Right.
So it is what it is. And yeah, like, I'm glad you reminded people about Big Ed, because that's exactly the situation we have that's going on here.
Yeah. Except unlike Rose, it seems like Mike is open to other alternative way of having kids, like adoption, and
but he was still in vitro. Disappointed about that she withheld that.
Yeah, I think what we're going to see is that she's also withholding a lot of other information. And again, that could be either part of her manipulation, like she's trying to lure him in without giving the full picture straight away, or maybe it's just bad communication, you know, like it's just communication breakdown in terms of, like,
nobody is perfect, right? People get into these relationships and they completely romanticize everything. Oh, yeah. She's the woman of my dreams. You know, she's from another country. And I don't mean to say she, he, they, whatever, right?
Yeah.
You see things through these rose-colored glasses, but you don't know the full story. You don't know. You only know what they want you to know. And yeah, right from the jump, they're already from two different worlds. Like you said, her relationship history is completely different from his. Mm-hmm. That's just one thing, like comparing relationship histories. That's just one thing.
Yeah.
And that story, that prison story, that was pretty crazy. And again, no judgment. I actually thought it was fucking hot, right? I was like, did I hear that right? Like,
yeah, conjugal.
Let me rewind that. Like, yeah, exactly. And conjugal wasn't the exact term she used, right? So yeah. I'm just like,
it happened. What? Like, she really liked the guy.
Let's just say they found a way. And I'm like, I mean, you know, if I was behind bars and I wanted to have a kid, like, they found a way. Yeah. So they're just so they're from two completely different worlds. And I'm not saying people from different worlds can't have a successful relationship, but try to speak each other's language first, get over that barrier, and then let's see what we can work out here.
Yeah. It just seems like Mike is able to accept all the baggage that comes with her, but I just feel bad that he's not given the full picture. Because like you say, he's probably wearing that rose-colored glass and he's probably romanticizing this whole,
Let's talk about Mike, though, for a second.
Okay.
So you said he's willing to, you know, explore these possibilities and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, though, he's willing because he's at the end of his rope. The way he talked to his brother and because of his relationship history and he hasn't dated, I think he believes that this is it. This is now or never.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's all in on this because he's been alone. It's been a while. What did he say? Like, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years, something, some unbelievable astronomical number where I was like, damn.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like,
what's he gonna do?
Yeah, exactly. I don't, I've been single for the last, like, I don't know. Like that's what I get from him. He has
I see where you're going with this. You know what I mean? Him, Ximena is the hottest woman he can catch. So he's like, okay, if I can catch this one, this is it.
This is it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his brother is trying to say, and his uncles or whatever is like, are you sure about this?
Yeah.
And I just feel like he thinks this is it for him. He's been single for, I don't know, for so long that's the reason he started dating outside of the US in the first place, because he
can't get any locally. Yeah. So you're also saying that at the end of this, we're going to see a proposal from him.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I thought
that's where you're leading to, because if this is like the be all end all for him, then we're definitely going to see a proposal no matter what she reveals to him. Right. Because if he's that sort of desperate, or if he's at the end of his rope, then this is it for him. This is like,
yeah,
you know, go big or go home situation for him.
Yeah.
Have you seen those memes, that scene where he met the entire family? During the first episode, we got introduced to them.
Mm-hmm.
The meme goes, the family meeting their sponsor.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
You know what I mean? Like, here's the thing, right? I know the camera keeps panning to the dad whenever Ximena and him engage in a PDA. Mm-hmm. And like, the camera will go to the dad to see how the dad reacts. And then I've just been scouring the interwebs and people will be like, what's the deal with the dad? Like, how can he be frustrated? He knows he's mooching off Mike. Like, yeah. Mike really bought the entire house for them. Like, all the furniture and everything, you know? Like,
oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah. What? I mean, the first episode where we got introduced to them, when she did, like, a crypt tour, she pretty much pointed out, this is gifted by Mike. The bed was gifted by Mike. The couch is gifted by Mike. This whole fridge is gifted by Mike. I mean, I'm obviously paraphrasing, but Mike sponsored the entire family. Like, wow. I think they're living off him. And I feel bad because isn't Mike like he's in IT support or something? I don't know how much he earns, but maybe it goes a long way in Colombia. I mean, good for them, but I just feel bad because she's living comfortably thanks to Mike.
But this is how invested he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Now that just seems even more manipulative.
Yeah. Well, hopefully she's nice and she'll, I don't know. The more I talk about this, the more I feel like, oh, that was a pity fuck. I feel bad now. All right. So we also got introduced to Ella and Johnny. So Johnny is a divorcee, father of one from China. And Ella is into cosplay and anime and Asian men.
Yeah.
How do we feel about that, Lon?
I saw some stuff online. I didn't read the articles, but just saw like the headlines that people are calling it problematic. And I think the fetishization could be problematic, but I also think she just has a genuine appreciation, right? So where do we draw the line there?
I was going to ask you the same thing. Like, at what point does it cross the fetishization of the culture? Because like, is this like a fetish for her or is it just a preference? Because I can say I have a preference for the type of men I'm looking for, or, you know, you can say the same thing too, but I wouldn't say I fetishize. I'm having trouble pronouncing this, y'all. I don't know why, but y'all know what I mean. Yeah, my tongue is not rolling. I don't know why. But anyway, like, I agree with you. I think it's more of like an appreciation, but at the same time, I'm thinking like, at what point would it be crossing that line? Of like, okay, maybe now this is her just, I can't pronounce the word.
Yeah, it's hard for me. And maybe I'll have to read more about it or speak to somebody who has that opposing perspective, because I didn't see anything. And maybe me saying this is what's problematic. I don't know. But I think she watches a lot of anime and she buys relics and I think she just appreciates it.
Yeah. I don't see anything wrong. I feel like us Asian have appreciation for like European culture. Doesn't mean we fetishize them. Like, I don't think so. It's just appreciation of the Western culture or European culture. Like, and plus Johnny himself admitted that he's into the Western culture. Like, he's actually looking forward to being at the ranch. Right.
Right.
So I feel like it balances out. Like, she's into Asian men. He's into, you know, Western women, you know, American women. So it balances out. I don't see anything problematic about their relationship, at least to me.
I guess we'd have to know more, because I think for me, at least when it comes down to the fetishization of Asian women.
Yeah.
It goes deeper than just, oh, like, I like Japanese culture and things like that. It's deeper than that.
It's deeper than that.
Exactly.
It's when you sexually objectify them, and I don't think she's sexually objectifying him, even though they do those role play stuff over video calls.
When it comes to the fetishization of Asian women, there's just so much, right? Like the way they're portrayed in Western culture, the whole submission fetish, and all this other stuff that comes with that. But like, I don't think it's that way with relationship with him, right?
Yeah. What do you have to say about Ella and Johnny?
I want them to succeed. I don't know if it's their relationship or if it's the show. I think they focus a little bit too much on her weight loss. If that's what you want to do, then that's cool. But like, it just makes their relationship, at least for me, kind of look bad. It's yeah. almost as if she's saying he wants me to lose the weight. I'm going to do it for him and he's going to help me with that. But I know I'm overweight and I kind of want to do this too. And I don't know. It just puts this whole slant on the relationship that for me just doesn't really need to be about that.
But the weight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I also point out that 10 pounds isn't a lot to lose? I mean, it's a good start. But yeah. like, I don't know why she said like, oh, I have to lose 10 pounds by the time he gets here. I'm like, girl, why are you pushing yourself so hard? It's like, I mean, it's not significant, but if he accepts you for who you are, would 10 pounds really matter? Like, I don't know. Right. I mean, maybe this is just math, mathematical to me, but like, I don't like that it's all about her weight.
Right.
Just like the last couple that we're about to cover is all about her disability. I think we all know what I'm referring to.
Right.
But yeah, I'm interested to know what will happen. I think the last part of the last episode is the fact that he couldn't get the visa from Singapore, my country, which I guess that is a setback to them meeting up. So I wonder if this is one of those couples where it didn't happen. Mm. I don't know. Maybe I didn't watch a preview, but I hope it's happening. But I don't know. Maybe they'll never get a chance to meet. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I want them to succeed. I think they're a cute couple. It's one of those quirky ones where I think they have genuine interests and they found each other through that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, there's somebody out there for you. If I were to idealize and maybe over romanticize, there's somebody out there for everyone. Right. And they found each other. Like, yeah. you know, he obsesses over Western culture, or at least they portrayed him that way with, I don't know if standing with a bunch of guns makes you obsessed with Western culture, but like that was the photo. Oh, he's yeah. like Western culture. And he's just standing with a bunch of fucking guns. I'm like,
yeah, that could have been some exhibit yeah. that he happened to like, be what? Taking us.
That's the photo.
Like TLC, man. Yeah, like to play up certain stereotype, I guess. Right. I don't know. Yeah. I want them to succeed as well. I think they're a cute couple. My concern is my unfounded concern is that, will they have something else in common after they peel back the layers and you stop talking about anime and Asian culture? And, you know, like, I wonder if they have something else that they can connect on other than their love for each other's culture. And maybe right. they can. I mean, maybe they have something. They have another set of common grounds, but I'm just interested to know what that would be.
I know for him, he's looking for a mom for Stoney.
Right. Which it's so weird how we just talked about Hamza's mom not having value, you know, being ostracized by her own community and society. And he's having the same problem being a male divorcee in society. And people are like, oh, I'm not going to marry a father of one.
Right.
Yeah. I guess in Asian culture, like if you're a single parent, it's harder to put yourself out there. It's harder to date around because people don't want the buy one, get one free type of situation.
I wanted to speak on that, though. It's a good thing you mentioned that.
Yeah, go for it.
So they revealed it, and this was something I already knew, but I thought it was great that he included it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
TLC, the learning channel, right?
Yeah, the so one-child yes. policy thing?
Or? Yes, so okay. China had a one-child policy.
Right.
And it was pretty fucked up. I don't want to get too much into it, but yes, they preferred
sons
preferred sons over daughters, and it became a really ugly thing, like, let's just say some babies were
buried alive.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. I read about that. Yeah.
So that's what brings his value down because not many women are there. It's like the women get the pick.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Because there's very little supply, but more demand.
You're right. Yeah. So why would they pick like the single dad?
Right.
Right. They have their pick. There's not a lot of them. And the ones that are there are not looking for him.
Right.
And I was just, wow. Like it was cool that he was able to squeeze that in to kind of fit that socio-political impact of that policy.
Yeah. The one child policy. Yep.
Right. Fit that into his own story.
Narrative.
Why he's forced to look. Right. Right.
Yeah. When he said that, I thought it made total sense.
Yeah.
because like you said, like the women there have option, especially if you live in a metropolitan city in China. I don't know China that well, but I'm assuming he is from like one of those metropolitan city. He's not like from the countryside. So I can definitely believe that there's not a lot of options for him in the dating scene. Speaking of which, I found that one comment from his friend very insulting. The one that says, what if she press you and...
I didn't like that.
And I'm either. Like, dude, have you seen yourself in the mirror?
Yeah.
Know, men with boobs.
He responded pretty witty, I thought.
Yeah.
Like, he retorted back to him, oh, like you or something. I forget exactly.
Yeah, he
threw
did.
It back on him or
oh,
something.
Oh, yeah. The clap back was so good.
Yeah.
And the guy went silent after that. And I'm like, yeah, go Johnny. But yeah.
Johnny. His name's Johnny.
Yeah. Go Johnny. Go. Hey, so his story is totally believable. Like why he's looking outside of the country, because I know it's so quick for people to say, well, China is a country of like, I don't know how many billion, like surely you can find a partner there. But I think people don't know, like you say, the socio-political impact from that one child policy that they had a while back. And I was also thinking like, that's such a flawed policy, because if everyone has son, how are you going to procreate? Who's left to procreate?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, sorry, have they thought that far out? Like if everyone has a son, and it makes sense for people in the countryside because they need hands to mend the farms. I get it. But then in the city, I wonder if people still practice that, because have you guys thought about who's going to procreate? Because right now only women can procreate. So, you know,
right. It's a, you know, I don't know if it's vanity, but it's so that men, right, can continue their bloodline.
The lineage,
I guess it ends. Right. It ends with them.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, I thought we can finish this podcast with Alina and Caleb.
So much to say.
I have so much to say too, Lon. Do you want me to start?
Let's go.
So I remember the last time we recorded, I said I was very wary of Caleb because I thought he might have the wrong intention. You know, he came off very experimental. Someone who's like, hey, let's try this out. Let's have a relationship with a dwarf, you know, or someone with a disability, right? I think I'm wrong here, or at least it's starting to be clear that I'm kind of wrong, because Alina is, she's not who she portrays herself to be. First of all, I was deeply offended when she was offended that he didn't kind of throw himself at her during the first night, because dude, you just came off a 20 plus hour flight. Who the fuck can perform after that? Like, I would be tired. I'm pro sleep at that point. Like, I advocate you taking a rest so that you can actually perform, or at least get over your exhaustion. And I don't like how she was very insistent on getting intimate. Like, she really wanted to get past third base. It is a red flag to me, because I'm like, okay, I don't understand where she's coming from. And then I guess I realized, okay, maybe I should practice a little bit of empathy. Maybe it's because it's a way of validating his relationship with her or his love towards her. And I thought, okay, but that's still unhealthy though. And it's a little bit toxic. And then it just became more and more annoying how she's like really gagging for it.
Mm.
And then I went down a rabbit hole. She admitted that she was in a relationship 2 months before Caleb came to visit, or Caleb and her got together. So I'm like, there's something about Alina that's not right. And then recently someone exposed her using the N-word.
Exposed. What?
Oh, did you catch that slow? Yeah. Okay, here's the thing.
Oh, no.
Attempted to use the N-word, except instead of GG, like the spelling N, you know, N-I-G, she used N-I-Q-Q, but it's still pronounced, you know, if you want to pronounce it out loud, it's still the N-word.
It's the N-word.
And she kind of tried to do a blackface, but she did paint herself as a man, like she had beard and all that. And I mean, if you go on Reddit, people are already like posting that all over. I just went down a rabbit hole because I'm like, why is she doing this? And then it turns out that prior to 90 Day, Alina has been clout chasing. Basically, she has cameos, OnlyFans. She was heavily promoting her burlesque show and, you know, her band and everything. So I think she's not as innocent as we think she is. And again, I mean, I hate to say all this because obviously she has a disability and I should be kinder, but I feel like I want to treat her as an equal too. So if she's on her bad behavior, I want to call it out as well. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people do, right? Because all of us are just as massively disappointed when we find out that A, she used the N-word, and then B, she is kind of a clout chaser. And I think C, she's not being upfront with Caleb as well. Like, she was previously in a relationship prior to meeting him. So what's going on, Alina? Like, I don't know.
She fooled us, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I know. Obviously, it's not just us, but like a lot of people are just like, hey, I was a fan, but now I'm like disappointed.
That changes everything. It changes everything. Because
you want to be in her corner. You want to root for them. But if this is a fake relationship as what some people are claiming it to be,
mm-hmm.
then what the hell? She's no different from Andrew or like a Jesse or a Tom Brooks or, you know, whoever else that took us for a ride. Why is she doing this?
Stepanko.
You know, like a Stepanko, right?
Stepanko.
She's a Russian Stepanko. You know what I mean? Like, it's, man.
That's super interesting.
I thought her intentions were pure. I thought she was doing it because she was really looking for love, but the curtains are being pulled and it's another Britney or Stepanko, another clout chaser.
Yeah, I was going to compare that to Britney. Yeah. Wow.
So what do you have to say, Lon?
I was on her side. It's funny because as you were talking, it was just in such a sharp contrast to what notes I was taking.
Well, why don't you give your version so that, you know, I don't want to promote bias here, but, you know.
Well, no. So you touched up on it, right? You touched up on it a little bit that you started to kind of see it as, okay, well, I want to validate your feelings for me. Where do we stand? So I think a bulk of my note-taking and perspective was from that lens, was like, dude, are you into her or are you fucking not? You know what I mean? And I think too, because I came in here not really sure about Caleb, not really liking him that much. So then to me, the way I saw it, and maybe still see it, is he's not being upfront with her. He's kind of like dangling a carrot. He was all about it at first. First, he was like, oh, I wonder how we're going to have sex. Am I going to kiss her like this? Or am I going to go like that? And then you get there, you're not showing any affection when it does get intimate, because it did get intimate. And then you're like, nah, we're going to hold off. Dude, why are you leading her on? If you know in your heart that this isn't going anywhere, just say, look, this is really not what I expected.
But that was like day two, though. So I feel like the different perspective here is that maybe he really is sincere and he wants to like hold off on the sex because he's like, well, let's get to know each other first. And there she is like, hey, kiss me. Hey, like, should we get it on?
I think if a guy is really interested, though, here's what I think. I think he's torn. I think he is a nice guy. He cares about her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to hurt her in the end mm-hmm. by going all the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, he goes some of the way, but that's just going to hurt more in the, end, because now you're thinking that there is something there. And he's like, I just want to take things slow and all this stuff like that. Just say no. Just say you're not interested in that. Yeah, that's going to hurt and it's going to suck. But like you're leading her on, dude.
Eventually they did it. And I thought, okay, so.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. Like, remember that during the preview, she was boasting to her friend like, oh, I took a ride on the disco stick. And I'm like, oh, okay. So you got your thing fulfilled, but now it makes Caleb look better because
he said that. I didn't see that preview.
Yeah, and now it makes him look better because he was taking his time trying to get to know her and trying to like psych himself up, and also, like you said, trying not to hurt her because it's his first time doing it with someone that's like her. And I would like to think that he doesn't know what he doesn't know. Like, he doesn't know how to go about it. And Maybe that's why he was hesitant. And who could blame him? I mean, first night he was tired. Second night, he's still trying to get to know her. And okay, maybe the third, fourth night, that's when they bang. And I thought that came out pretty normal and natural, as opposed to her that's like complaining about, oh, he didn't kiss me.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh,
I read
it on. Like,
I read that as if he felt pressured and forced because of her friends and because of her, and that it was all out of reluctance. I didn't think it was genuine when he was like, all right,
I think there
let's
was.
Go. And to me, it was just like, you're only doing that now because you're in this position now where you feel like you have to prove it. That's the way I read it.
I think that there was reluctance, but it's also not fair to pressure him to
that's true.
Do it.
Yeah, if the tables were turned and it was some guy going or, I don't know, pressuring a woman into sex, I'd be like, hey, cool off.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But in this case, it's her wanting it really badly. And I just thought, hey, girl, slow down. Like, he's going to be there for 2 weeks. Like, I'm pretty sure out of 14 days, you're going to get it somehow, right?
It's one of those things where I think, we've talked about this on the phone and you said you wanted me and that you were going to do all these things. I don't know what they talked about on the phone, yeah. But I could kind of get that.
Yeah.
I'd be scared too. I'd be like, shit, he's not feeling me. Why isn't he ripping my clothes off? What is it, 13 years they've been friends? And
yeah.
I don't know. They've had phone sex?
I don't know. No? Oh, I don't know. I mean...
Hey, phone sex is a normal thing in a long distance relationship.
I know.
Okay.
Listeners, I'm sorry I made a face. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm like really phone sex snob. I don't know. But yeah, sure. By all means, have tons of phone sex, y'all. I just don't know why I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I think of them as innocent and I don't know. Maybe it's naive on my end to think that, oh, Alina is probably like very... innocent and
well, now that I know that she's completely not who she portrays herself to be, sometimes I forget that, right? That this is TV and this is TLC and this is 90 Day Fiancé. And
there's
as much as we talk about, right, as much as we talked about scripted scenes and people not being real, like I forget that even the sweetest people could be completely portraying themselves that way and they're not who they say they are or they're not who they portray themselves to be.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
I think the jury is still out. I want to see where they're heading with this relationship. I want to see if it's even genuine because, like I say, I went down the rabbit hole. A lot of people are speculating that this is fake and Caleb is just in it to be on TV and she's in it to get more traction on her career or whatever side hustles that she's up to. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. Anything else, Lon? Because otherwise we can wrap it up with our WTF moment.
Nah, that's it for me.
All right. So what is your WTF moment?
This entire season has been super, super, super entertaining. I think for me, it was the whole Caleb situation with Alina. And maybe I'm reading this all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he's into her. And I think for me, that was a huge WTF. This is the toughest watch. I think they're all cringy and entertaining in their own way and endearing in their own way. But this Caleb Alina one is difficult for me to watch because he just doesn't seem into her at all.
Mm.
And the friends are looking out for her and they're like, you know, they have their suspicions like, wait, you didn't kiss her?
Yeah.
You know, especially her best friends. Like, did you kiss her at least? No, man, we didn't kiss. You know what I mean? So then to see her... one, like throwing herself at him and him going, I just want to take it slow and all this stuff. As a guy, if a woman's like, hey, if I've been talking to a woman for a very long time.
Yeah.
And then she's just like, I'm going to seal this deal or not. Like,
yeah.
The last thing I would say, especially if we've been like talking for so long and we've been the sexual tension that, and that's the thing. Right, is during these long distance relationships and you've been away from so long, there's all this sexual tension that's built up. So like for him to be like saying, no, let's slow this down. I'm like, dude, you're not into her, man.
Yeah.
Fucking just tell her that, dude.
Yeah. And maybe again, I'm projecting here, but maybe he's old fashioned. Maybe he's all about let's get to know you first and let's figure out the logistics of this intercourse. I don't know. I mean,
you'll figure it out though. You always
I guess, yeah,
you just figure it out, though.
You know, there's
definitely clothes come off and you figure it out, right?
Yeah, yeah, I can see it your way too, Lon. I think maybe there was that hesitancy because he's not into it, but I can also see that he's being pressured and he's like, okay, I cannot perform when I'm being pressured.
I see that too,
and tired.
I see that too. Don't force this. Like, yeah, we're not there yet. And
remember, he said that he wants things to organically happen. So maybe he's of that mindset that, okay, if it happens, if we click, it's going to go. Like, if we don't, or if we don't get this going, then maybe it's a slow start for them. But, you know, as we found out in an upcoming episode, you know, she gets to ride his disco stick.
So. Disco stick.
Good for her. Get it, girl. All right, so my WTF moment, it's a very minor one, but damn, Gino's never going to remove his head, huh?
No.
We're never going to know.
Didn't she say that he did, but then the lights were off, so she couldn't see his head?
Yeah.
Oh, Gino. That's the severity of his insecurity, though.
Yeah.
Actually,
when you think about it, they're both insecure.
Yeah,
just acting out. They're just manifesting
different
it different
ways. Yeah.
And the other WTF factor is him not knowing that vegans don't eat eggs.
WTF,
bro?
Yeah.
Where have you been?
WTF?
It's not a new concept.
Yeah, he has some funny scenes in there.
Yeah, and she keeps telling him like, "I don't eat anything that comes from animals," and he's like, "But you're okay with eggs, right?"
Like, oh my gosh.
Keep that scramble to yourself. Anyway, I have a couple of tea to spill. We mentioned Stepanko just now, and it turns out she had a near heart attack because of the diet. Yeah, because of the farts that she produced. So, I don't know, thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
So, I don't feel bad. I mean, if you're selling fart jars for $1,000, should I feel bad for you? I mean, I feel bad for the people buying it, but...
Yeah. With that said, I respect her hustle.
I respect her hustle, too. I feel bad for the people buying it because they're probably schmucks or they're probably that perverted. They're like, ooh, let's get some of that fart smell from...
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Lon, I'll be watching after the 90 days or the new Darcy and Stacey.
Because we do it so big. We do it big. Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
I think I'll give it a shot. I don't know if I'll stick with it.
Yeah.
If there's no content to talk about, then I'm definitely gonna watch that for the content. Yeah. But
I think if our listeners want to hear us talk about Darcy and Stacey, the new season, or if they want us to talk about after the 90 days, then obviously we're open to talk about it. Because otherwise, there's just a lot of 90-day content, right? Nowadays, right? Because there's 90 days in Paradise that we don't cover that. Yeah, we don't cover that. I do have to say I'm extremely entertained by David and Annie on After the 90 Days.
It's a separate spinoff, right?
It is a separate. So they're only focusing on David and Annie, and this is Ty Annie. So David and Ty Annie and Lauren and Alexi.
Are those going to run concurrently?
No, it's in the After the 90 Days series.
Oh, so it's after the 90 days, but there's both
couples.
Lauren and...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I thought it was two separate shows.
No. This runs after Darcy and Stacey on TLC every Monday night. If you're in the US, I don't know about other countries, but in the US.
Twitter poll.
Yeah.
What would you rather we talk about?
Exactly.
Okay.
But yeah.
Let us know too. Y'all, we'll give you the deets right now. Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, you can show your support by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90dayfiancewtf. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. Don't forget to like, share, follow the podcast, and let us know if you want us to cover Darcy and Stacey or After the 90 Days. You can find me on Instagram at Lawn, LAN, _like_LAWN. Click on the link in my bio for additional socials.
Cool. Yep. So I know this is a lot to cover. We had a lot of grounds to cover. So thank you for listening, you guys. Till next time.
Thank you again.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I am sad and so dumb.